Will you please turn to Matthew chapter 4. The Gospel according to Matthew chapter 4. Verse 10, the last sentence. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, the last sentence. Thou shalt do homage to the Lord thy God. That is, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. And him alone shalt thou serve. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29. They said therefore to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
Excuse me a minute, we've got about four people here.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has before prepared that we shall walk in them. And finally, Ezekiel chapter 44. Ezekiel chapter 44. Verses 15 and 16. Ezekiel 44, 15 and 16. But the priests, the Levites, the son of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall approach unto me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to present unto me the fat and the blood, said the Lord Jehovah. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall approach unto my table, to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. May we look to the Lord. Our Father, we do praise and thank thee for thy great love towards us, in giving us thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we do recognize that thou art the God who is worthy to be worshipped and adored. And we do worship thee and adore thee. And thou art the God who is worthy to be served. And we do desire to serve thee in spirit. So we commit this time into thy hands and ask thy blessing upon thy word, that it will do something in us through thy Holy Spirit that will result in worship and in service. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. We have been considering for some time on this matter of worship. What is worship? And what is the relationship of worship, say, with the breaking of bread, with prayer? And this morning we would like to enter into this area of worship and work. Worship and work. Now, first of all, I think we need to define what is work. That is work according to the Scripture. What is God's work? The reason is many may work for God, but they may not be working God's work. You remember that great Pharisee Saul, how he persecuted the followers of the Lord Jesus. He thought he was working for God. He thought he was doing God's work. And he certainly was very diligent in doing it. He didn't know that he was doing the very opposite. That he was against the work of God instead of doing God's work. And later on, you remember the Lord met him on the road of Damascus. He was converted. And then he really served the Lord in spirit and with a conscience void of offense. And yet the Jews considered him as working against God. So you see, this whole matter of work is really a problem. What is work? What is God's work? What is doing God's work? How do we know that we are doing God's work? Or we are just working for God, as we think? You know, one day we shall all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And when we shall appear before his seat, we will get the surprise of our life. Why? Because many people will come to him and say, "Lord, did we not perform miracles and wonders in thy name? Did we not cast out demons in thy name? Did we not even preach in thy name?" And the Lord said, "I do not know you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness." Well, they did work. And they even worked in the name of the Lord. And yet the Lord said, "You are workers of lawlessness. You are not doing my work. You may be working for me, as you think, but I do not know you." Now, what is work? What is God's work? How do we know that we are doing God's work? Or just we are working for God in our own way? To do God's work is to do his will. To do God's will is to do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. In order to go do God's work, there is a prerequisite, and that is we must first believe in him. You remember that story recorded in John chapter 6? After our Lord Jesus had fed 5,000 with 2 loaves and 5 fishes, he dispersed them, but they follow after him. And the Lord said, "Now work not for the food that perishes, but work for the food that does not perish." So the Jews said, "What shall we do that we do the works of God?" And the Lord answered, "This is the work of God. Believe in him whom he has sent." Now, brothers and sisters, just think for a little while. As the Lord mentioned this whole matter of work, these Jews said, "Now, what should we do? What do we do that we may do the works of God?" In other words, their whole concept about work is, "Now, let's do something. Let's do something for God. And if we do something for God, then we are doing the works of God." But the answer of our Lord Jesus surprises them. Why? Because the Lord said, "Now this is the work of God. believe, believing Him whom He has sent. They want to do something. The Lord say, no, believe. Believe in what God has already done for you. Now, what is God's work? What is work? Basically, you find it is not something that you do. Basically, it is something that you believe. He has done it. And you just believe in what He has done. Therefore, the work of God is based on faith. Without faith, you cannot do God's work. You remember that verse in Hebrews chapter 9? It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ Jesus, who offered Himself spotless unto God by the Holy Spirit, how much more it will purify your conscience from dead works to worship the living God. Now we think that if we work for God, if we do something, if we accumulate merits, then we are worshiping God. But the Lord said, we need the blood to purify our conscience from dead works, to worship the living God. Now there is a connection between worship and work. Ordinarily people think that if they do something good, if they accumulate some merits, if they do some good things for God, then certainly they are worshiping God. Remember, this is just bribing your conscience. It is dead work. Work without faith is dead work. It is just like the offering of Cain. Cain took the produce of the land. And he might be offered the best of the produce. But there was no blood. There was no faith. It was just self-confidence. And here you'll find he brought the best of his produce and offered it to God as a worship. His own work as a worship. His own merit as a worship. But he was rejected. He was rejected because his offering was rejected. He offered dead works to God. You cannot worship the living God with dead works. First of all, your conscience needs to be purified by the blood from dead works. In other words, we have to recognize that everything we do, every good works that we do, every good work that we do, every merit that we accumulate, every righteousness that we think we have, without Christ, without faith, all of these are dead works. God cannot accept. God cannot be worshipped by these dead works. We are deceived. Our conscience is being deceived into thinking that by bringing these merits to God, by bringing these good works to God, or by bringing these works for God to God, certainly God is worshipped. Not at all. Not only your worship will be rejected, but as we find in the case of Cain, something terrible happened. Work begins with faith. First, you believe in what God has done for you. First, you believe in Christ, the one whom God has sent. First, you believe in His finished work. It is done. Everything is done for you. And as you believe, you begin in doing God's work. And as you believe, God's work will begin to work out through you. This is the work of God. Believe in Him whom God has sent. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, I think we are very familiar with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ye are saved by grace through faith. That is the foundation of our salvation. We are saved by faith, by grace, through faith. But oftentimes we forget verse 10. And it is said, for ye are God's workmanship. Brothers and sisters, before we can think of doing God's work, we must first see that we are God's workmanship. We are His work. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good work. Those good works that God has prepared beforehand for us to walk therein. That is to say, we are God's work. God works in us that we may do His work. That we may do His will. And this is the same thing you find in Philippians chapter 2. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in you both the willing and the working according to His good pleasure. Dear brothers and sisters, when you come to this matter of work, first of all, let us see that it has to begin with faith. We believe in His work. And as we believe in His work and let Him work in us, then you'll find it will be worked out. And as it is worked out, we are doing God's work. Doing God's work is not just we are doing something for Him. Doing God's work is He Himself is working in and through us. Now that is doing God's work. Are we doing God's work? Or are we working for God? Look at our Lord Jesus. Certainly He is the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord. Certainly He is the worker. Now look at how He worked. He said, I can do nothing by myself. Whatever I do is because I see my Father doing. You know, that is in John chapter 5. Our Lord Jesus healed a man infirm for 38 years. But it happened that He healed that man on Sabbath. So, of course, He was accused as violating Sabbath. And yet our Lord Jesus answered, he said, my Father's working, worketh unto now, and I work. I can do nothing by myself. I do it because I've seen my Father have done it. I'm just doing what my Father has done or is doing, and it is my Father who does in me. And then later on in chapter 8, again you find after our Lord Jesus had delivered that woman, committed adultery. And again he said, I do nothing by myself. What I have heard, I speak. It is my Father who is doing it. So here you'll find our Lord Jesus, he said, I can do nothing. And then he said, I do nothing. In other words, with him, it is the Father. It is not the work. As you read the Gospel according to John, you'll find a word or a phrase that repeats and repeats. And that is, the Lord said, my hour. Oftentimes he said, my hour has not yet come. You remember, in chapter 2 of John, in that marriage at Cana, when the mother of Jesus came to him and said, now son, they have no wine. She was suggesting that her illustrious son should do something to rescue the situation. And what did the Lord say? The Lord said, woman. Now, it's not a hard word. In Greek, it means little woman. It is an affectionate word. Little woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. And then again, you'll find one day the brothers, according to the flesh of our Lord, said to him, now, if a person wants to get famous, you don't hide in the hills. Go to Jerusalem at the time of the feast. Why don't you go and show yourself to them? And the Lord said, your time is always ready, but mine is not yet come. He always waited for that hour. Then in chapter 12, some Greeks came to Andrew and Philip and said, we would like to see Jesus. So they reported it to our Lord. And the Lord said, the hour, my hour has now come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. Father, deliver me from this hour. But for this do I come, for this hour. And then in chapter 13, you find again, the Lord knows that his hour of departing has come. And he loved his own and loved them to the utter. In chapter 19, he said, my Father, this is the hour. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. You'll find throughout his life, in his work, he is always waiting for the hour. He will never do anything before the hour comes. Now, what does it mean? It simply means he waited for the Father's will and the Father's time. He could do nothing by himself. To him, the work is secondary. To him, the Father is primary. Or to put it another way, work to him is a worship. It is not just do something and finish it. It is a worship. It is a form of worship. It is his way to express his worship to the Father. How he honored the Father. How he waited upon the Father. How he did the work of the Father. The will of the Father. How he glorified the Father. To him, that is work. It is not just to do something. Even before he went to the cross. It is not the cross that he desired. It is the Father's will. Not my will, but your will be done. If it is the will of the Father that he should go to the cross, that he should drink the cup, he will drink it. He will do it. In spite of the tremendous cost that he had to pay. Why? Because work to him is a form of worship. He worshiped the Father with his work. He sought the Father's will. He waited for the Father's time before he did anything. And no wonder. All the works that he did redounded to the glory of the Father. But on the other hand, our Lord was not slothful in any way about doing God's work. You see a perfect balance in the life of our Lord Jesus. On the one hand, you'll find he will do nothing before time. He was never in a hurry. People tried to tempt him, to hasten him. You couldn't. He would not be pushed. He was waiting before the Father, ministering to the Father, if we may say this, before he will minister to the people. And yet, on the other hand, he was not in any way slothful. Even when he was 12 years old, when he was made a son of the law, he tarried in Jerusalem when his parents went back. On the third day, the parents found him in the temple. And there he was, asking and answering questions. And when Mary said, "Son, why did you do this to us?" And our Lord Jesus said, "Why do you come and find me? Must I not be occupied with my Father's business?" Even when he was 12, he was engaged in the Father's business. He was doing God's work. But notice, the Bible said, he went down with his parents and obeyed them. Suppose it happened to you. What will you do? You will say, "Must I not be occupied with my Father's business? Go home. I'll stay here and work." Now, isn't that the right thing to do? We worship our work. We are not worshiping God. We may be so occupied with working for God that we have no time to worship God. In other words, worship and work become two separate things. Isn't it true that many servants of the Lord are so busy with working for God, they have no time to pray? They have no time to wait upon the Lord? The more they work, the less they worship? And the result is they worship their work. But if a work is really of God, you will find the more you work, the more you worship. The more you worship, the more you work. Because worship and work cannot be separated. Work comes out of worship. Work must be done in a worshiping spirit. And work would lead to worship. If it is not that, what is that work? Is it worthwhile? Will God receive anything? Even when our Lord Jesus was 12 years old, He was so occupied with the Father's business, and yet He went down with His parents and obeyed them. Why? Because work was not the most important thing in His life. The Father's will was the most important thing. It was God's will that He should submit to His earthly parents, until the time when God will manifest Him to the nation. Our Lord was most earnest in God's work. In John chapter 4, you'll find the Lord told His disciples, "Look at the fields. You will say that it will be 4 months before the harvest. But look, the field is white with harvest." Now that's work. And again our Lord Jesus said, "Is there not 12 hours in the day? And when it is night, no man can work." We have to work. On the one hand, you'll find our Lord Jesus is very earnest, very diligent in doing God's work. He is never lazy, He never draws back, shrinks back, He never. But on the other hand, you'll find to Him, work is not just meeting a need. Work is doing the Father's will. Dear brothers and sisters, how often our work is determined by need. Yes, there is need everywhere. Lots of needs. And because of these needs, we have to meet these needs. We have to work. Now, it doesn't mean that you should neglect. You should just as if you haven't seen these needs. Of course not. But what governs your work? Is it need or is it the Father's will? With our Lord Jesus, it is not need. It is the Father's will. Why? Because to Him, work is a worship. He worshiped the Father by doing these works. They are never dear brothers and sisters, how about us? In one sense, we are all workers. You know, sometimes it disturbs people, both ways. Sometimes it disturbs people when we say, "Now only a few chosen work, and the rest, we don't work. We are not workers." Now who are the workers? Now those who are especially called to preach, they are workers. They do God's work. Then what do? We do our work. No. Now this disturbs people. But on the other hand, when we say, "Now we are all workers," it disturbs people too. As if they don't want to work for God. In one sense, dear brothers and sisters, whether you are called to preach, or whether you are called to cook, Whether you're called to serve the table, whether you're called to minister the word, we are all workers in God's vineyard. You remember that parable that our Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 20? He said, a man had a vineyard. He went out to engage workers. And in the early morning, he went out and he saw people were standing there idle, you know, they had nothing to do. So he said, well, come to my vineyard and work. And they decided on a certain wage, you know, a denarii, a day's work. So these people went in and worked. And afterwards, he went out and saw still people were standing there idle, and he engaged them too, even at the last hour. Just an hour before the work day was finished, there were still people standing there, idle. And a man said, why do you stand here? They said, nobody engages us, employs us. So the man said, come into my vineyard and work. Now, what does it mean? It means, dear brothers and sisters, that even at this late hour, we are all called into his vineyard. Every one of us. Every brother and sister. Now, do not think that you are not a worker. You are a worker. You are God's worker. Everyone is called into God's vineyard. We are all called into God's vineyard to work in the field, to produce fruit for his glory. Or we may use another figure of speech. We are all laborers. We are all building on the foundation that has already been laid, which is Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said he is like a wise foreman, and he has laid the foundation, and you cannot have any other foundation than Christ Jesus. And everyone is to build. Dear brothers and sisters, remember, every one of us is a builder. Every one of us is a worker. We are all working in God's vineyard. God has only one vineyard. There is only one work. God's work is one. And we are all engaged in doing that one work. God has only one building. He doesn't have a summer house and a winter house. He has only one building, and we are all building that building, the house of God. Every one of us is engaged, is employed. There is no unemployment in the kingdom of God. It's 100% employment. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, we cannot stand there idle. We have to work. But the thing is, are we just working for God, or are we doing God's work? Think of Martha and Mary. Here our Lord Jesus came to the village, and Martha certainly wanted to entertain our Lord in the best that she could. So she was so busy trying to cook the best dishes, trying to do everything just right for the Lord. She did that with good intention. She was serving the Lord. She was working for the Lord. But while she was doing that, she lost her worshiping spirit. She was disturbed by the many works that she had to do. How about the table? How about setting the table? How about these chairs? How about the food and all these things? And she was rushing in and out, you know, from the kitchen to the dining hall table. And And she was so disturbed. Finally, she just couldn't contain herself, seeing her sister sitting at the feet of the Lord and quietly listening to the Lord. She just couldn't stand it anymore. And yet she was too polite to just call Mary. Mary, come and help me. While the Lord was there. So she did it in a nice way. She said, Lord, don't you care? I'm so busy and my sister is sitting there. Won't you tell her to come and help me? And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you are busy with many works, but your sister has chosen the better. Now, what do you see here? You see, Martha was working for the Lord. Oh, she was so busy. But while she was working for the Lord, she lost her worship. While Mary, you'll find, she was sitting at the feet of the Lord, listening. Now, that's a position of worship. And because she listened to the Lord, does it mean that she would just sit there forever? No. One day when the Lord was again being entertained, you find Mary came in with an alabaster flask of ointment. She broke the ointment and anointed the Lord. How did she know that our Lord Jesus was going to die? Even the disciples didn't know that. The Lord told them 3 times at least. And yet they couldn't understand. Why? And why is it that only Mary understood? She knew that the Lord was going to die. Therefore, she was anointed him to prepare for his burial. Where did she get the knowledge? But she was sitting at the feet of the Lord. Work. And her work was anointing the Lord. And the fragrance filled the house. Brothers and sisters, who served the Lord more? Martha or Mary? If work is just a work, God is not worshipped. But if work comes out of worship, it will be a worship unto the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, in the church in Antioch, there were 5 prophets and teachers. And the Bible said, as they minister unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Paul for the work that I sent them to do. Now here you'll find the prophets and the teachers. They were the people who ministered to the needs of the church. In the church in Antioch, there were many believers. And these believers needed to be fed, needed to be nourished by the Word of God. And these 5 prophets and teachers were raised up by God to minister to the need of God's people there. But you find these 5 there were ministering unto the Lord. Before they ministered to the people, they ministered to the Lord first. And out of their ministry to the Lord comes forth that apostolic. here, brothers and sisters, when we are working, do we first minister to the Lord? Is our work the outcome of our ministering unto the Lord? Or is it because we see some need and we do it? And this reminds us of Ezekiel 44. There in Ezekiel 44 you find Ezekiel in the vision saw the house of God, the temple of God being restored. And not only the temple of God was restored, but the priestly ministry was restored. But when the priestly ministry was restored, you find one thing. Only the sons of Zadok were allowed to minister unto the Lord. The rest of the priestly family and the Levites, they could only minister to the house, but they were not allowed to minister to the Lord. You know, usually the work of the Levites was the work of ministering unto the house. Why? Because the Levites were there helping the people. Helping the people when they came with their sacrifices. They helped the people to bring the sacrifice to the altar. They helped the people to kill the sacrifice. They helped to bring the waters, and they helped all these things, you know, in the tabernacle or in the temple. The work of the Levites was to minister to the house or to the people. But the work of the priest is to minister to God, to the Lord. They were to burn the burnt offering. They were to light the candlestick of gold. They were to put on the bread on the table of showbread. They were to burn incense at the golden altar of incense. You know, they minister unto God. And only after they minister unto God, they came forth and blessed the people and teach the people. But here you find in Ezekiel, only the sons of Zadok, because they were faithful. During the general declension, the falling away in the nation of Israel, even the Levites fell away, even some priests fell away to serve the idol and the idol's table. Therefore, they were disqualified to minister unto the Lord. Only the sons of Zadok who kept the charge during the time of falling away, because they were faithful, they were allowed to minister unto the Lord. What a privilege. But the others could only minister to the house. Now, what is ministering unto the Lord? In minister unto the Lord, it means that they can draw near to the Lord. They can stand before the Lord. They can wait upon the Lord. They can receive the Lord's word. They can offer to Him the fat and the blood. And they can minister to Him at His table. Now, all these simply means how we need in our work to minister unto the Lord. It is not just working. We need to minister to the Lord. That has to be an element, or the most essential element in work. We minister to the Lord. Now, how do we minister to the Lord? We wait upon Him. Oftentimes, we find the hardest thing is to wait. Is to wait upon the Lord. We are always in a hurry. We must do this. We must do that. The need is there. We have to. Who else would do it? The whole world is depending on us. We cannot wait upon the Lord. We think that waiting upon the Lord is a waste of time. But dear brothers and sisters, in order to minister unto the Lord, we have to wait on Him. Wait until He made His mind known to us. We have to stand before Him. What does it mean? You know, in the old days, the servants, the slaves, they stand there quietly with their eyes upon their master. Not standing idly, not standing passively, but when they stand, it means that they will not move until they are told, either by the hand of the master or by the eye of the master. They have to learn to stand. And they have to learn to present the fat and the blood. Now, what is presenting the fat and the blood? You know, in an offering, these are the two things that are offered to God, the fat and the blood. The blood is to satisfy the righteousness of God. The fat is to satisfy the love of God. We are a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is it? We are offering fat and blood. We are offering the fat and the blood of the Lamb. We are offering Christ. This is our spiritual sacrifice. This is our worship. When we are worshiping God, brothers and sisters, do you think we are sacrificing or giving ourselves to Him? Yes and no. No, in the sense, when we are offering ourselves to Him, it is actually we are offering Christ in us to Him. We are offering what Christ is to us, to Him. We are not just offering ourselves. If we offer ourselves, we will be rejected. We are not worthy. But it is the fat and the blood of the Lamb. That which we have received, He is our nourishment. He is our cleansing. He is our food. He is our life. And because we know Him as such, we can offer it back to God. This is our spiritual sacrifice. This is our worship. Worship is nothing but returning to God what Christ is to us. That is worship. How much can you worship God? It depends on how much Christ you have received. Oftentimes, we have lots of words, but very little worship. Why? There is little substance there. We do not know Him as we should. And therefore, when we try to worship Him, it comes out in words, but there is not a substance there. But still, brothers and sisters, we have to minister to the Lord. Minister at His table. Now, what does it mean? It means, in the first place, that as we commune with Him, as we believe in Him, as we receive Him, in turn, we can serve Him. We cannot serve Him more than what we have believed and received from Him. Do we minister unto the Lord before we minister unto the house? Now, what is the house today? The people of God. We certainly need to minister to the people of God. But before we minister to the people of God, we need first to minister unto the Lord Himself. And as we minister to the Lord Himself, it will result in ministering to the house. But not just ministering to the house without ministering unto the Lord. Finally, there is a parable that our Lord spoke, which is rather unusual. That's recorded in Luke 17. The Lord said, when the servant came from the field, either plowing or shepherding, after the day's work was done, and he came into the house, will the master say to the servant, sit down quickly and eat? The master will say, now go and prepare my food and serve me. And after you finish serving me, then you can go and help yourself. Isn't that a strange parable? And the Lord said, after you have done all these things, you have to come to him and say, Lord, I'm but a unprofitable servant. Now, what does that mean? It means that even after work, that's not the end of it. The work is done. But that doesn't mean that that's the end. After the work is done, you have to come to the Lord and minister to Him. Worship. Worship before work. Worship in work. And worship after work. Now, is it not a great temptation? After we have done the work, we think, well, that's the end of it. The work is done. Look, the work is done. The Lord said, wait a minute, you haven't served me yet. You have to come back and say, I'm but an unprofitable servant. I have done what I'm told, but that's nothing. That's nothing. I want to serve you. I want to satisfy you. I want to worship you. Oh, brothers and sisters, that's our attitude. Remember, every one of you is a worker. Remember, all of us are engaged in the same work, the work of God. Even though we may have different responsibilities, even though we may work in different areas, as it were, our capacities are different. And yet remember, our whole life is a work. We are doing God's work. We are doing the will of God. And we must do the will of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we do it in His will and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are all engaged. All engaged. But the point is, does work take away our worship? Or does it increase our worship? If work is something you do on your own, in the power of your own strength, the more you work, the less you are able to worship. But if the work is done in His will and by His power, the more you work, the more you are able to worship. That is the difference. So I do hope, dear brothers and sisters, that we really see what is God's work. And how do we do it? In doing God's work, it is just worshiping God. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, Thou art the only God that we worship and we serve. We pray that we may worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and we may serve Thee in Thy work. Deliver us from just working, but Lord, may our work be a form of worship, that not only the people will be helped, but Thy heart will be satisfied. O Lord, do bring upon Thy people this spirit of worship, that throughout our days, in whatever work we are engaging, we may see we are doing Thy will, and we are doing it for Thy glory. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.